If you have a Bible today, turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. We will start there. Mark chapter 4. I love this story. There's so many practical lessons in it. And remember, when we look at stories in the Bible, whether New Testament or Old Testament, they were written for our learning, for our admonition. And we can see how people responded to the Lord, to His Word, and we can see the pros and the cons, the blessings, and the lack of blessings. But let's begin reading here in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. And the same day when the even was come, He saith, Jesus, unto them, His disciples, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's probably a pretty dangerous thing, you know. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse 1 of chapter 5, And they came over unto the other side. That's what Jesus said, let's go the other side. And so if Jesus says we're going the other side, then we're going the other side. In between this great storm of wind and the great calm, those words are used, is His word, where He said, Peace be still. And I bring out, I know I probably said it here a lot of times, but when they said, Carest thou not that we perish? They forgot all the blessings and all the mercies and all the miracles in that one time of trial. And we have a tendency to do that. But we'll see what the Lord has for us today. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You for this story, this true story. And Lord, may we glean from it. May it increase our faith. Thank You for Your word and how it's powerful, how it's the living word of God. And I pray that You bless each one here and bless whoever listens to this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody said, you've either just been through a trial, or you're getting ready to go through a trial, or you're in a trial right now. It's one of three things. So they just come around all the time. Here's a common saying: How's it going? Right? Hey, how's it going? And when you hear somebody say that, your mind goes, your circumstances. But there's another question: How are you doing? When we say, how's it going? There's people right now that have lost their job, so there's financial issues. Their health maybe is going away. They're weaker. They're, you know, dealing with some important thing. Maybe there are family issues. And we think about all of those things, and somebody else's circumstances might not be ours. And sometimes we look at somebody else, and we don't even know the burden they're going through. Because we've never been in those shoes, or they have not shared that with us. But everybody has burdens. Everybody has trials. The Bible teaches us that. Somebody said, when they were asked, how you doing, they said, well, pretty good under the circumstances. And we're not supposed to be under the circumstances. So we need to get God's help through this. And we'll see that in the message today. I've said, boy, I'll be glad when we get through this. I just said that to somebody today. I think that was you, Lynn. I'll be glad when we get through this. And again, we're going through things all of the time. And sometimes there are dark times, and sometimes there are blessings. But again, nothing is permanent in this life. Things come and go. And so we're going to look at that today and see what the Lord has to say to us. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, in the world, now this message, you may think it's negative as we get into it, because there are some verses that are reality, and they're not real exciting verses. But how about this one, John 16:33? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Okay, that's what we're going to have. You have Luke 17:1. It is impossible but that offenses must come. It's a fact of life. Offenses must come. We're going to have tribulation. 1 Peter 1:7 talks about the trial of your faith. There's another verse. Man's days are few and full of trouble. Full of trouble. How about the whole creation groaneth and travaileth until that day when the Lord comes. The whole creation. And so these verses are in the Bible. And we will be tested maybe daily, maybe hourly. You know, there's always something. Isn't there something to think about? And so we have to be careful that we don't think all negative. We think about God and His help and His blessings, because what you think about is what you go through. You know, I don't know. I don't think anybody here is a worrier, right? We're not worriers. We're all positive people, right? Hey, how's it going? Man, it's great. Car just quit running. Isn't that a blessing, you know? Or something like that. Psalm 56 and verse 3. And by the way, if you don't have financial problems, or never have had financial problems, it's hard to look at somebody else and know what they're going through. And we were talking earlier, when we were younger and we were all healthy, you know, and we could run 2 miles and not even get out of breath. Remember those days? I don't ever remember those days. But there's things we don't understand, but there are trials, and people go through great trials. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. It's a simple verse. There's deep meaning there, and we're going to look at that. Psalm 57:1, be merciful unto me. The battery, is it back? I think we got old reliable here. Amen. Praise God for old reliable. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. That's good. But the rest of the verse, until these calamities be overpassed. I am going to trust God. I'm going to trust in God until my calamities are over. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So, how are we doing? And I would say today, it's more important than what we experience is how we respond to those experiences. Otherwise, we're just like this all of the time. If it's a good experience, we're trusting God, everything's, you know, all glory to God. But when we go down, we have a tendency to lose faith. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples. How is it that you have no faith? And they had already seen some of his miracles. But he's a miracle-working God. I love Bible stories, and I love Old Testament stories, and I can read them and read them. And I have books in my library that go through and pick out the nuggets in them, and I read those. And once you start thinking about all those things and remembering all those things, it's a real blessing to see how God works. But I want to go through some stories here and just maybe wet your whistle a little bit. You have in the scripture a story about David in 2 Samuel 16, and Absalom, his son, wants to kill him and take the kingdom. And he's in exile, and there's a man by the name of Shimei, and Shimei is cursing David and his men. And a couple of David's men said, let us go up, David, and we'll take off his head. In Christian love, we're going to take off his head. And we'll make sure he doesn't accuse you anymore. And David said, no, he said, it may be that the Lord hath told Shimei to curse David. And if the Lord told him to do that, then there's going to be some good come from it. And he says,
maybe the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Those are the verses that are in that chapter. And so they did not do anything. But here's a difficult circumstance. He's in exile. His son's against him. Here's a man cursing him. Wouldn't it be easy to be irritated with any of that? I mean, any of it, you know? And those are all major, major issues in his life. And he says, if God told him to curse, let him curse. There's going to be good come from it. And he didn't do the wrong thing. Remember, Saul was out to kill David? And David had chances to kill Saul. And he said, I will not lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed. And he could have done that and solved the problem his way. But God solved it in his way. And so he didn't violate any principles. You come to the book of Esther, Esther chapter 4. And if you know the story, the Jews there in captivity are going to be, they're ruled by another king. And they're going to be destroyed because of wicked Haman. I'm just kind of put a little bit in there just so to refresh your memory. And Esther, who is the queen, and that's the providence of God right there. But Mordecai told her, go present to the king that he spare the Jews. And she says, well, I can't go in unless he's called me. And she said, but I'll do it. And Mordecai says, well, who knows whether you've been put in the kingdom for such a time as this. And man, I'm trying to say too much here at one time. So with your permission, I'll just stretch this out to a 3-hour sermon. Amen? Amen? Okay, one amen. Okay. And but anyway, this is what she said. I'm going to go in. I'm going to do what's right. I know it's dangerous because it's against the law. But she said, if I perish, I perish. And she went in, and there was a great salvation to those Jews. If I perish, I perish. Now, you have to be in that situation to make those words weighty in reality. And she was. And so you saw that response. In Daniel chapter 3, three Hebrew children, how come you're not bowing down to my image? If you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. O king, we're not careful to answer thee. We know our God's able to deliver us if we go in the furnace. But if not, we're not going to worship your image because we worship our true God. So we're not going to bow down to your image. God's able to do something. We don't know whether he will or not. But if he doesn't do anything, we're still not going to do the wrong thing. Those are powerful stories. And they are true stories. And they are stories that I would hope would be true in my life, but sometimes I come to a little problem compared to those. And I don't have the faith. I mean, now God can give it to you, and there's a principle here, and we'll look at that, because we're all made out of the same thing. Now, I wrote some other stories down. Hagar, I don't know if you know this story in Genesis 16. Hagar was Abraham's handmaid. And this is where Ishmael came from. But Hagar was dealt hardly with by Sarah, her mistress. And so Sarah is dealing hardly with Hagar, and Hagar takes off. And God comes to Hagar and says, go back and submit yourself to Sarah. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Go submit to the one that's treating you harshly. You have Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah is without child. She's going to have one. God's going to work a miracle there. But Peninnah, one of the other wives of her husband, mocked her. And she became her enemy. But she never did the wrong thing. You have Paul. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And then he said, the Lord reward him. I'm not going to do that, because he also wrote what, when God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So vengeance isn't ours. Well, I'll get even. You ever have that spirit? I mean, sometimes we do. Sometimes when we're driving on the road, you run me off, I'll run you off. You pass me and slow down, I'll pass you. I mean, and things escalate. And it can be just about a conversation. Something is said, we come back with something else because we can't handle that. And so there are principles in the Bible. Jesus knew who it was that would betray him. and he washed Judas's feet. Isn't that interesting? He called him friend. Jesus was amazing on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Job had some friends. Boy, what great friends. The title of his friends was miserable comforters, forgers of lies, physicians of no value. And what were his friends going through? They were judging Job by their facts, by what they knew about God or thought they knew about God. They believed they were being spiritual. Job, if you'll just get right, this will go away. And that wasn't the issue at all. Amen? You ever get in your mind how somebody else ought to live and then judge them? You know, by judging them, we're judging ourselves. And so there's all of these stories in the Bible where we come to and we say, man, you know, I'm not getting this. And because we don't get it, there's unrest. There's sometimes revenge. There's sometimes bitterness. There's sometimes doubt. There's sometimes weak faith. All because we don't understand how to appropriate and how to have this help from God, because he's the one, he's really the one that can help us. Now, we have the other side of the coin here in Mark chapter 5. You have all kinds of Bible stories where they just trusted God and they served God. And no matter what it was, we're going to serve God and honor God. Here you have a story where they're in a storm. Jesus is in the boat and they say, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? In John chapter 11, and by the way, it's easy to get there. John chapter 11, Lazarus had died, and Martha and Mary, her sisters, are there, and Jesus comes, and he is dead and in the grave, Lazarus is. And Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If only you'd have come a little bit earlier, my brother had not died. Mary, when she saw him, said the same thing. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus said, well, this is for the glory of God. So it was a delay, but it was a divine delay. The prayer, I'm sure they were praying that the Lord would be there or their brother would be raised, and it didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. You ever pray for something and it just doesn't happen the way you want it to happen? Don't lose your faith. And so Jesus came and he raised Lazarus. You have 1 Samuel chapter 13. And I'll just take the time. I want to read a couple of these verses. Saul is the new king. And let me see if I have this. Nope, I don't have it right. I am looking for 1 Samuel 13. That's 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel 13. Samuel is the prophet, and he gives instruction unto Saul. He's the king. And there's going to be a battle here. And this is what the Bible says. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul was there with the army. Samuel says, this is the set time, but he doesn't come in the set time. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. As soon as he did the wrong thing, Samuel shows up. Great, huh? Can you feel that tension there? And it says, and Samuel said unto him, said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. He blamed the people, he blamed Samuel, and he blamed the enemy. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Samuel says, you've done foolishly. The kingdom's going to be taken from you because he didn't follow those instructions. And again, we have these circumstances here. You have Genesis chapter 50. Remember the story of Joseph. And his brothers sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him. They hated him. And how that he was raised to Pharaoh's right-hand man, and he was the instrument to save that whole posterity. And God used him to do that. But this is what he said when he saw his brothers. Genesis 50 and verse 20. As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. To save as it is, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. In chapter 45 in verse 8, he said, so now it was not you that sent me, but God. You didn't send me into Egypt, God did. You wanted evil against me, but God wanted it for good. And so our circumstances, we look at our circumstances today, and we just need to trust God, because there are people in this world that don't do the right thing. But God is greater than those people. Amen? God can make good out of bad. That is a real blessing. We'll see that in a minute. Here's the great principle about trusting God. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Psalm 56 and verse 5, every day they wrest or twist my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. That would be a trial, would it not? I mean, if you're listening to that all the time, but how would we respond to that? What's the verse, Richard, what's the verse I'm thinking of? He never can remember those verses. Be careful that you don't bite and devour. No, that's not it. If bite and devour one another, be careful that you be not consumed one of another. If you bite and devour one another, be careful that you be not consumed one of another. Thank you, Richard. He sends those signals, you know. But, I mean, it's important not to do that. So a soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, what if it doesn't turn away wrath? It's still a good idea. Amen? Because you can really escalate something. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read some of this chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Whole book of 1 Peter is good. And all of this chapter and chapter 3 are really good in this respect, but we'll just pick something out here. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, for the Lord's sake, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. This is, a froward means ungovernable. It's just obstinate. And so we are to submit not only to the good, to the gentle, but to the froward. It's their position. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Well, I didn't have that coming. Most of that you won't have coming. You just don't have it coming. But you suffer wrongfully, and you do it for the glory of God. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Not with man, not with yourself maybe, but with God it's acceptable. And it goes on, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This all speaks of our relationship to God and trusting God to work out all the details. It's an important factor where we're able to get through how we go through our trials, because our trials are always there. Amen? Troubles are always there. Difficulties are always there. And so is God. In Hebrews 12:3, consider him, Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There are some difficult verses in the Bible. Fight the good fight of faith, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, take up your cross and follow me, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And we have all of these sacrificial verses about us trusting God and doing what we do for him, for his cause. You have in 1 Peter 2, you have, he committed himself to him. You have in chapter 4, he commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. So there's a commitment. And what does commit mean? It means to give in trust, to put into the hands or power of another, to entrust. And so it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of giving over to something. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. For 2 Timothy 1:2, for which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When you got saved, you trusted what he said, and you prayed and asked the Lord to be your Savior. And you trusted him for your salvation. Amen? We who are saved today, we have trusted our Lord Jesus Christ to take us to heaven one day. Amen? Because he's promised us eternal life. Why cannot we trust him with something down here? You know? And so that's the point. That's the point Paul is making. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And he's talking about the things which he suffered. Job 13:15, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because he doeth all things well. You have Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'd rather read the verse, he prepares a table before me. I would rather read the verse, he anointeth my head with oil. I would rather read the verse, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. But here's a verse that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'd rather have a nice meal and sun shining, the brook babbling, right? The babbling brook. Okay. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Romans 8:38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me or separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So whatever happens, God loves us, always. I want to quote some men here. Thorold, I don't know if you've ever read anything by him, but he said, the highest pinnacle of the spiritual life is not happy joy and unbroken sunshine, but absolute and undoubting trust in the love of God. Because the sun doesn't always shine, and things don't always go our way, but God is faithful. He is always faithful. Oswald Chambers said, trustfulness is based on confidence in God, whose ways I do not understand. He said, if I did understand, there would be no need of trust. But because I don't understand, I need to trust. Aren't there a lot of things you just don't understand that are going on in the world today? And it depends who you listen to. But if you listen over here, that's not the way it is. I mean, truth is falling in the streets. So we trust God. A.W. Tozer. What we need very badly these days is a company of Christians who are prepared to trust God as completely now as they know they must do at the last day. For each of us, the time is coming when we shall have nothing but God. Health and wealth and friends and hiding places will be swept away, and we shall have only God. To the man of pseudo or false faith, that's a terrifying thought. But to real faith, it's one of the most comforting thoughts the heart can entertain. I have God. Amen. I just have God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. The poem, trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him is the greatest thing. The greatest thing of all. We just made a new poem. Amen. The only way to respond properly, the only way to go through things is to trust him. It's the only way. Then you have his help. Then you have his comfort. Then you have his peace. You ever hear this statement, the odds are against me? Well, the odds are against me. Romans 8, 31, what shall we say then to these things, to the odds? If God be for us, who can be against us? The goal of the Christian life is not to get out of suffering. If it's to get out of suffering, we're never going to do anything for God. We're not going to have a testimony. We're not going to glorify him and honor him. We're not going to experience his grace. If all we want to do is the easier, the better, and to get out of suffering and no sacrifice, then we really can't have that help from the Lord. Amen? Because we do present our body a living sacrifice. How do you go through a time of suffering? How do you go through a time of discouragement? You ever been discouraged? I was discouraged once back in 74. Remember it. No, I mean, you get discouraged. What do you do? See, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Elijah was a man of like passions. We're all the same. You might be discouraged right this minute. You might be discouraged on the way home. You might not be discouraged until you get up tomorrow morning. But discouragement comes. And like with David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. These are important principles. How do you get through a time of persecution? If you've ever read the Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it talks about those men and women that died for the cause of Christ. And one, on July 6, 1415, John Huss, you may recognize that name, was taken to the place where he would be a martyr for the truth in which he believed. He was going to be burned at the stake. As he went to the stake, he was heard quoting Psalm 31:1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Now, I read through the Psalms often, and I've read Psalm 31:1. I might have read it recently. That didn't mean to me what it meant to John Huss. He's going to the stake to die, but that verse comforted him, and it was his testimony. I don't want to die like that. Amen? I mean, that's not how I want to go. I would have the easiest, but that might be the way the Lord would have it. And so he trusted the Lord. How do we get through a time of darkness or sickness? 2 Chronicles 16:12, Asa, the king, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. He didn't even bring God into it. He trusted in man. And the Bible says that we're not to put our trust in man. We're not to put our trust in kings. We're to put our trust in the Lord. Trust the one who holds the instrument. Just don't trust the instrument. Sometimes somebody will be used by God. It could be a doctor. It could be a number of different things. And we give the credit to that instrument, but the credit needs to always go back to God. That's what we talked about last week. The gifts of God. The gifts of God. And every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. You know, God does things. 1 Kings, somewhere in 1 Kings, Richard will tell you where once I start telling the story here. But there was a wicked king, Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. They got a league together, and they're going to go fight the Syrians. But this Ahab was a wicked king. And he disguised himself that he wasn't the king. And he said, now, Jehoshaphat, you dress up like a king. And we're going to go into the battle, and that way they won't get me. If they get anybody, they're going to get you. Well, anyway, I don't know why it happened the way it did. But so Ahab is disguised. And the verse goes, a certain man drew a bow at a venture. In other words, he just put an arrow in his bow and shot towards the Israelites. And guess who that hit? Ahab. And he died because of it. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I don't know what this day and age, how close we are to the Lord's return. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I trust God. I've read the last chapter, haven't you? Amen? Yeah, but it's difficult now. Sure it is. It always has been. It will be until the Lord comes. He's the only one that is going to bring peace. Because there are those that cry peace, peace, where there is no peace. And yet that Antichrist, when he comes, it's a false peace. But Jesus is our peace. Oswald Chambers said, faith for my deliverance is not necessarily faith in God. Faith that I'm going to be delivered doesn't mean I'm putting my faith in God. You might put your faith in a person or a circumstance or something you see ahead. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in the fiery furnace. I will not lose my faith in God. God is good. What's the end of that? All the time. He's good all the time. Jean-Pierre de Caussade wrote this in The Joy of the Saints. To escape the distress caused by regret from the past. Anybody have any regrets? Fear about the future? Anybody have any fears about the future? This is the rule to follow. Leave the past to the infinite mercy of God. Praise God for that. Doesn't matter what the past. Yeah, but if only I'd have done this. But you don't know the end of that story. You don't know. Well, only if I'd have taken this job or moved here or done this. You don't know the end of that story. Leave the past to the infinite mercy of God. Leave the future to his good providence and give the present wholly to his love by being faithful to his grace. That's where you're blessed. Amen. If I were to say I'm not afraid of the future, that would not be the truth. There's all kinds of times that fears about the future come into my mind. But what do you do? You cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? And you submit your mind to whatsoever things are good, pure, and lovely. You trust God because there's a purpose in everything. Henry Van Dyke wrote in The Upward Path, happy and strong and brave shall we be, able to endure all things and to do all things if we believe that every day, every hour, every moment of our life is in God's hands. It's in God's hands. What would you do to change the circumstances, your circumstances today? Oh, I could give you a bunch of them. Some of them I prayed about. I've learned over the years that some of the things I asked for, I'm glad I didn't get. I'm glad God didn't answer it the way I wanted him to. So you trust God. Lord, this is what I'm asking for, but thy will be done, right? Not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then we do the will of God and we glorify him and we experience his grace to go through the trial. We're all going through trials. It's how we go through them. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cares. Amen. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Whatever your need is today, trust him. You're not having to pay. He's forgiven you. Just trust him to be a blessing to you. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word today. And Lord, please, all of the trials, all of the temptations, all of the tribulations, may you give us grace and strength. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, how do you want us to respond? Turning the other cheek, praying for an enemy, loving the way you love, giving a sacrifice for you, whatever it is, Lord, help us to be mindful of your will. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.